You're listening to Aligned and Unfiltered with Daniela, Demi, and Ness. We're making spirituality real, raw, and relatable.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, I forgot to turn it down. We're back.
Part two.
Let's jump straight in.
Yeah, go for it.
We'll preface by saying if you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, we recommend that first because it will give a bit of context as to what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But we're going to jump straight back into the conversation.
We are. But before we do, I like quickly looked up my notes to see who coined Inner Seasons because I think it's important that we be really transparent about where ideas came from as well. Like I think in the society that we're in, like it's important to give light to who creates what. So yeah. Alexander Pope was the soul who coined Inner Seasons, which is fucking incredible because this framework has really shaped the way so many of us now live and see our lives. So
it just makes
sense.
Thanks,
girls. Yeah.
Love it. Cool.
Yeah.
What are we up to?
Summer. So we're up to, summer, inner summer, ovulation.
Yeah.
Our ovulatory window. So, okay, let me jump in here by saying ovulation, when we say that, it sounds super broad. So we put so much focus and importance on the period and our period happening, but our ovulation it's equal in terms of importance. Mm-hmm. So one only exists because of the other.
True that.
Yeah. The whole reason that we have our period is, and like the sole purpose and existence of the period is because we are built essentially to be able to conceive. Mm-hmm. And so whether that's part of our journey or not, it's why we have a period, right? So we ovulate specifically for the release of the egg. And if that egg is not fertilized, then, we have a period and our lining is then shifting and cleansing and doing its thing. Mm. But they both have to exist alongside each other. Mm. So if we're not ovulating, so you know how people say, I think you said it earlier where you had made a comment about you used to think that your period was always late.
Mm.
So our period is never late. Our period is always on time. Our ovulation is the only thing that can be late, right? Because your period will happen, say, 12 to 14 days after you ovulate.
Mm.
Always. It's consistent. But your ovulation only occurs when it chooses to occur, when it feels safe enough to occur. So that is more of a like fluid, always shifting sort of time. But once you eventually finally ovulate, that's when your period date is set and in place. So your period.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, we're not taught this shit. So your period is never actually late. If the date that you had crossed in your calendar as like I should be bleeding on this day, if that isn't matching up and that feels late, then it means you ovulated later than, or you're ovulating later than what you thought.
Mm.
Yeah, fun fact.
Interesting.
Yeah, so your ovulation window, really you ovulate like once.
Mm.
So this is the other thing, right? So we're going back and forth here, but we are taught in schools, I don't know, maybe I'm making a generalization, but literally everyone I fucking worked with agrees. So therefore it's fact.
Yeah.
We're taught that, or where there's this fear that is placed in us at a young age, that if you have sex, you will fall pregnant and that is the consequence of your actions.
Yeah.
Right? But we're not taught that.
Insert judgment.
Yeah. Like shame. But it's not that easy, right? You really only ovulate like once.
Well, you can only fall pregnant during a certain window of the month.
And it's a tiny window.
Yeah.
It's a fucking tiny window.
Yeah.
So there might be 4 or 5 days within your month that falling pregnant is possible.
Mm.
Every other day, like free for all.
Mm.
Right, but we're not taught that. But if we knew how to chart and track our cycle so that we could understand and confirm when we were in that ovulatory window, if we were trying to say avoid falling pregnant, then we can be conscious about our choices during that time.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Or opposite, if we're trying to conceive, then rather than going by an app that has no fucking clue what your body's doing, we can really understand where we are, where our window is, how long it is for, and we can plan accordingly so that we can consciously conceive. Yeah. Like, this shit is.
You know when to take action.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
So this window here, this ovulatory window, we call it our inner summer because what's natural that for us in summer? It's hot, it's warm, we are feeling a little bit more, you know, you've got a bit of a tan happening, you're feeling a bit more confident, you feel sexy, like you want to go out, you want to be social and be amongst it, right? It's a high peak energy time. So your inner season version of summer is much like that. You are feeling, because your body hormonally is gearing you to essentially fall pregnant, because that's what it wants you to do. Those hormones are really like pumping. You've got that testosterone hit. You're wanting to be more sexual, or you're feeling more sensual. You're wanting to connect with people or to have that physicality, whether it be with yourself or whether it be with someone else. Like, doesn't make a difference, but you're feeling that energy of connection. So it is a little bit more sexy. It is super productive. You are like that masculine comes out here because it is like prime time. Let's get shit done. Let's go full force. And it is just like high peak in energy.
Well, it makes sense that you say your testosterone's like peaking.
Yeah. It's a very expansive time. Because
I fucking love inner summer. I love it.
Inner summer, I'm there now. Like, this is why I'm happy to speak, which is also so interesting because every single time we record, I'm always fucking bleeding and I never have energy.
I'm always in my winter and moody. No, in my autumn and moody.
Yeah, it's so
I'm
true.
I'm like, yeah, I can't be bothered.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, for once, I'm actually in my summer. So this is like rare.
Yeah.
I'm like, actually, like, I think today is my, no, hold on. Like, let me think of my days and like my cervical mucus. So today and tomorrow are like my peak times.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a time of allowing yourself to really step into that light and be expansive and allow your power to kind of like come out.
Do you know what of course I have to think astrologically here. Yeah. I think of like Leo season.
Yeah, it is Leo energy. Summer is very much Leo energy.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an opportunity to also be seen in a different way. And again, very expressive. The thing about summer is because we have all of this energy, we can often, and this can be a shadow side, I guess, is we can often say yes to all of the things. And then a few days later, because it doesn't last that long, like this, your inner summer really doesn't last like too long, but eventually we phase into our inner autumn and we're like, fuck me, why did we say yes to that? So one of the things to kind of keep in mind when you're in this season of feeling all the energy is taking on what you can, but not more than what you can just because you've got that extra energy.
Yeah, it's like, how am I going to actually make this sustainable? Just because I feel like doing it today, it doesn't mean I'll feel like doing it in 2 days.
Exactly. And more often than not, you don't feel like doing that shit in 2 more days. So just like take it day by day.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? It's also a time of self-celebration. Like it is. You feel, I believe that it's like a more confident space. Now, of course, this isn't the experience for all. There are so many shadow sides to all of the seasons, but we'd be here for fucking ever if we were to explore. You know what? If you want to go in depth in the shadows and the joys, and you want to go in depth in all of this, then just come and join my Womb Wizard space, because that's where we do it.
And we'll talk more about that later.
Sure.
Yeah.
But just as like a quick overview is this is a beautiful time to connect and it's a beautiful time to express and to follow your fun and to just experience things and have that adventure because there is that extra energy here. So like this is also a really forgiving time. If you are running late for work and you miss breakfast, it's not going to kill you during your summer. Like it won't kill you anytime, but like
Hormonally, it's more forgiving. Fuck, yeah.
It's not going to fuck you up that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely more forgiving. So like things like if you are having your caffeine or you are having alcohol, for example, it's not going to really impact your hormones too badly when you're in your summer.
Obviously, we say that prefacing that we're not medical.
Oh, like, yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Like
I also find that when I'm in my summer, I'm way more patient with myself and with other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like so much more patient.
That also really depends on how much you're allowing yourself to fill your cup at other times. Mm. Because if you're giving yourself what you need in other seasons, then you have the capacity in your summer. Mm. And that is why fueling yourself in the ways that you need to be fueled throughout will allow you to access the joys of the season.
Mm.
So if you're saying that you're feeling that you have that more patience, you're probably giving yourself what you need in other seasons to be able to have that extra energy for others.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a give and take.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What else with summer?
Oh, can we talk about exercise?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I know that like during my summer is the time where doing the HIIT workouts, doing the fucking heavy weights and stuff like that will be super energizing for me.
Yeah.
But I know that during my autumn and my winter, I need to tame it back. Because when I do try to push myself and do those hard workouts, I pay for it in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stay awake. And I'm like, oof, should not have fucking done that.
Yeah, shouldn't have pushed myself.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, this goes by having that varied energy and your hormones working in certain ways, right? So when you're in your summer, those really intense workouts, you have that energy to do it. Right, so like, what's an intense workout? I'm not really
like a HIIT workout or something.
HIIT, like F45 vibes. What are like boot camp type like thing? The high intensity stuff. Like, go for it because your body energetically has that capacity. Whereas if you were to, let's go back a little bit to our inner winter, your body has less energy, so it still will crave movement, and movement is fantastic for if you are someone who experiences like bloating and cramps. Movement is something that will be really beneficial, but the movement that you do and is going to be different.
Yeah.
So walking or slow yoga or slow stretches, things like that are going to be easier on the body, giving yourself what you need, but still not pushing your energy levels to a point of draining the battery, right? And spreading it out more across. So you'll find that if you're someone who sticks to routine, notice it now. Like actually, if you're someone who sticks to a routine of your specific workouts that you do constantly, just start to pay attention and see how your body shifts and changes throughout the months, and notice when your energy is dropping and how you perform differently. It's just interesting to note.
Yeah.
And then if you find that for you and your experience, if you do drop in energy and you have those days where you're like, I can't be fucked for this class or I can't be fucked for my particular workout, try and shift it to something that is going to be a little bit gentler and see then how you react and respond.
Mm.
This is part of the experimentation and part of the reassessing so that your day-to-day works for you. Mm. This is what it's about, right? Yeah, that was a really good point, the exercise. What else? Yeah, create space for yourself to play and have fun and be creative during this time.
Yeah.
Summer's pretty like self-explanatory, I would think.
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of anything else to add to summer. It's like peak energy. One of the shadows that is coming to mind though for summer is if, for example, you, because it can be a time where our body is naturally gearing us to connect with others or be more sexual. So if you are someone who has like particular shame that's linked to that part of self, it can be quite a rough time because your body is acting or reacting in a certain way, and mentally and energetically you might not be meeting that reaction, and you might not be ready for it, or you might have certain thoughts and feelings that's linked to it that makes you feel uncomfortable.
So there's like an incongruence between what your body wants to do and what your mind and your energy wants to do.
For sure.
Wow. It's really interesting. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, there are so many that's what I mean. There are so many shadows that are so, and so many joys. They're so layered. And it's not until you start to really take note of your experience that you even notice that you're having these particular shadows and joys. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Super interesting.
So interesting.
Yeah.
What else was, I had like one more. Oh, okay. Ovulation, right?
Mm.
How can you tell when you're ovulating during your summer?
Oh, that's a fucking great question. So there are only two ways to confirm ovulation. So one is by measuring your basal body temp.
And which is?
So, okay. I mean, I'm not – so if you're someone who's, like, interested in this, like, working with someone who – a FAM, someone who's certified in FAM, F-A-M, is going to be, like, your go-to. I'm not certified in that. So, like, okay. my advice is going to be, like, very broad.
Yeah.
But your basal body temp is – when you're measuring your specific temperature down to like decibel, or is that the
decimal?
Word? Decimal?
Decimal.
But this is math. So like I've already switched off. Yeah. But it's like this like the point da da da.
Yeah.
So it's a very your very, very specific temperature. But you can only measure it at specific times.
Mm.
So if you're someone who wants to track your temp, and the reason why you track your temp is because it will show you when you've had like your peak temp and your drop, then mm-hmm. you can confirm that you like
you just ovulated.
Yeah. Okay. Like there's more to it than that, but this is like super broad because yeah. we've got like zero time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you track your temperature to confirm when you're specific that you've ovulated.
Okay.
They do have very specific thermometers, not like your usual thermometer mm-hmm. you have. You have to have like a basal body temperature thermometer, and like you can get these from mine is from like Chemist Warehouse, and it was $15. Mm. So they're not expensive.
Oh, okay.
But the only downside to using one of those thermometers is you have to take your temperature consistently at the same time every day, and it has to be. So say I put my alarm on for, this is a shit example because I don't wake up from an alarm, which is why this didn't work for me. But say my alarm is on consistently for 7 a.m. I'm a 7 a.m. girl, which I'm not. But that's when my alarm goes off. My body will wake itself up. The first thing that I do before I get out of bed, before anything, is I have to roll over, grab my thermometer, pop it in my mouth, and take my temperature before I even get out of bed.
Which means that you have to like open your eyes and shit as well.
Yeah.
So you actually have to wake up at that time.
You have to wake up at that time. It has to be consistent at the same time every day before you get up, before you pee, before it has to be like consistent. So it can be hard to kind of do.
Mm.
There are other ways. There's Temp Drop is a company that it's like a wearable thermometer. These are quite a bit more to invest in. Like it's say,
I've
like,
seen the rings as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's an Australian company called, oh, what are they called? They've just launched. Like it's, I missed out on their first round, so they did their first round of sales, and then the next round comes out in December. But yeah, they're wearable temperature BBT monitors,
mm.
And they monitor your temp as you sleep. And so you don't need to do any of that. Get up, do your temp. It's doing it for you. And then it logs it in like an app where you're able to see and add in your
like see the data, really.
See the data, yeah. Exactly. So these are awesome because it's less effort for you. And also if you're someone who works shifts or you're getting up at different times, it's not going to make a difference because it's measuring that long-term data yeah. while you sleep. So they're awesome, but they are an investment. And so they can range anywhere from like 300 upwards.
Yeah, because it's the technology, right?
It's the tech.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it really, if you're just starting out, there is nothing wrong with just grabbing the $15 one from Chemist Warehouse. Like I did it for ages, but then honestly I got lazy and I wake up at different times every day. So you have to find what works for your lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that's one way, but also what's really underrated and what is super important is just noticing your cervical mucus.
Mm.
So this is another thing which I've sort of found in this line of work is there's so much shame linked to our cervical mucus, and it's something where it's not really spoken about and there is stigma linked to it. But this is there's a reason why it exists, and it's either to stop sperm from doing its thing, or it's to help sperm to do its thing. Like that's literally it. That's its purpose.
Okay.
So you'll find that during, well, obviously period is like period. So let's like skip that. You'll find that and start to notice in the days to follow, you probably don't have any mucus at all. It's pretty dry, right? Because you've just bled.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. There's nothing to come out. There's no need for the mucus to be there. It's probably going to be quite dry. And then in the days as you move through your spring, then some mucus is starting to come now, and you'll find that it's probably going to be quite thick and quite sticky. And if you were to have sex during this time and you're nowhere near your window or whatever, that mucus, because it's thick and sticky, is going to be blocking the sperm.
Oh.
Right? It's not going to be helping it to, like, travel down the path. Yeah. Like, it doesn't want that, right? Yeah.
It's like, there's no point here.
There's no point. Like, yeah. You're just here, but we're just dealing with
you.
So
it's like the road
block. It's a roadblock, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So it's thick, it's sticky, it's not, it's, like, blocking.
Okay.
And then the closer you get to your window, you'll start to notice that your mucus starts to change in thickness, in consistency, in all of it. It'll start to be less sticky and thick, and it'll become thinner.
Okay.
And slowly thinner and thinner and lighter until you get to your peak ovulation. And I mean, again, it can look different for you'll notice what your like consistency and thicknesses look like when you start to track and chart. But most of the time, prime ovulatory mucus is when it looks like egg white.
Okay.
It's like super stringy and like wet looking and clear almost.
Okay.
So
that is very interesting.
Yeah, that's there to like guide the sperm. So that's going to help the sperm do its thing.
Okay.
Right? That's its sole purpose.
Yeah.
So it's either blocking or it's helping.
Right.
So when it is that egg white consistency, fuck, this is a value filled
it really fucking episode. Is. Wow. I'm learning so much.
Welcome to the class of Daniela. Yeah, so when it is that egg white consistency and it's more like stretchy and thin, it's you're in that window, girl.
Okay.
Like it's go time or it's avoid time.
Okay.
And so after you've ovulated, it's going to change again.
Mm.
It's going to go back to either being creamy or sticky or like whatever, but it's not going to be that same consistency.
Right.
And then you might find that the few days leading up to your period, you'll probably be dry again.
Mm.
So it's that cycle. So your cervical mucus and your temperature are the two ways to confirm where you are within your window and whether you've ovulated or not, which is why going back to the first ep we did on this, which is why an app, unless it is one that's linked to like those wearable monitors,
mm.
and you're adding in your mucus is so important. It's like peak or non-peak.
Yeah.
Unless you're adding in that data, an app can never know when your window is, because you might be someone who ovulates or it's no.
Because technically speaking, yeah. on the unicorn 28 yeah. day cycle.
Yeah, so day 14.
Day 14 would yeah, be it.
That's right.
But that's not the case for a lot of people.
No. If you're someone who has a shorter cycle, then you're ovulating earlier.
Mm.
If you're someone who has a longer cycle, you're ovulating later.
Mm.
So knowing and figuring out where your ovulatory window is going to help you like heaps
yeah.
when it comes to understanding when to either be safe or not be safe.
This conversation is really interesting, and I don't know if this is just me noticing it or if it's actually happening.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of talk about people having trouble falling pregnant.
Yeah.
And I guess there could be so many reasons as yeah. to why, but I feel like maybe a big reason is that people don't actually understand when they're
100%,
ovulating.
100%. 100%. I mean, again, not medical professionals.
Yeah.
There are so many reasons, and the reasons are so, so vast, and it depends on the individual and whether you have like existing conditions or like it's well, one of those things.
Even in society, how we live, we're exposed to so many fucking toxins. Like
oh my
way
God, the
more
chemicals.
We, yeah.
And yeah. And
so
also we
lots
don't.
Lots of reasons.
A million. We also, unless you're consciously choosing, we also don't tend to nourish ourselves the way we need. Like even myself, I think that it's only been the past year when I've deep dived into committing to this journey where I've started to eat the right amount of protein to even make my hormones happy.
Mm.
You know, like we do need to nourish our ecosystem from the inside out.
Yeah.
And we don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
We really don't. There are meals skipped. There is caffeine to cover for what we've skipped. We are burning ourselves out. We're not moving our bodies the way we should move them. And we are trying to fit, again, that – did we even talk about the fact – we did talk about that males have the 24-hour
yeah.
cycle?
Yeah.
we're trying to fit that. It doesn't work for us. Mm. So how can our bodies then do what
it was designed to do?
Designed to do if we're not creating like that comfy, cozy space for it to do its thing.
Yeah.
Or
so interesting.
Just your nervous system, like stress is so underrated when it comes to this. Like people talk about it, and it's been a trigger for me in the past where someone's like, just relax and it'll happen. And it's like, bro, there's so much
why
more
didn't
to it
I
than
think
that.
Of that thank
oh,
you
sorry but like you yeah. know what I mean like stupid
yeah like when you're like hot like peak stress I'm like oh just take yeah. a few just few deep breaths and relax it's like yeah.
fuck oh, you
that's fucking genius I can't
thank
believe
you for
I
your
didn't
help.
Think of that I'm cured now fuck off
honestly like
bro
I have so many like fucking conversations about this because it's just like come on but stress is
stress has such a huge impact on the body
huge impact on the body and having a few days off is not going to fix things like truly it takes conscious lifestyle shifts and choices to accommodate for whatever you're trying to do within your body for anything. We're not even talking about like fertility and we're talking about life things in general and just like everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Because generally, like, I mean, we're like kind of like bagging out the way society is designed at the moment, but whatever. But the way society is designed and what's considered normal in society is tailored to men.
Yeah.
It's not tailored to us.
No, it's not exactly it. And we're not saying this because we're coming from like this extreme feminist like perspective. No. It's not that. It's the reality because we do live in a patriarchal society that is run and governed by men. And so especially because we've had so many shifts and changes in terms of how women's kind of role, I guess, in society, it's shifted so much. You know, like 50 years ago, women weren't doing what we're doing now in the workforce and kind of balancing or trying to balance because the balance is fucking impossible if you ask me. Balance having a career with a family and all of that stuff. Like our energy is so split now, whereas previously it wasn't like that. So we've had to adapt in so many different ways to fit in and to get the freedom that we've wanted and to get the opportunities that we've wanted. But now that we're at this point of having so much more option and opportunities, it's like we can't find that way to then pull ourselves back and also give ourselves the rest that we need.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I guess, and obviously we're very much simplifying it here, but it seems like back then women didn't have choice and they wanted choice and that's what they were fighting for. Fuck oath, ladies. How good. Now that we have the choice, it's hard to balance because we want to do all the things.
That's right. And it feels like the impossible balance because how it is impossible because how we don't energetically have enough in our self-battery to be able to cater for both.
Yeah. And especially because like let's say like the typical 9-to-5, right? That requires the same energy every single day.
Yeah.
Which we don't have.
We don't.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how, like, we're going to navigate it as a collective, like, going forward.
I think part of the work is, and where we are right now and what's so important is starting to just have the conversations to break the stigmas, to really shift the taboos that we have and to start to get comfortable with our experience.
Yeah.
Because it sounds simple, but there is so much conditioning and there's so much relearning to do that this work will take time.
Yeah.
It will take so much time. Yeah. So I don't know where it's going to go, but I know where we need to start and it's by having conversations like this. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so final
was that?
That was in a summer, so ovulation. And now the final season is in autumn, which is post-ovulation and premenstrual, so like before you bleed. And this one here tends to be the longest of the seasons. Like it is the longest experience. But
when you say that, so, and I actually have been meaning to ask you about this, but I keep forgetting. So I'll ask you here. So you know how your period's never late. It's based on your ovulation.
Yeah.
So your period is always the exact same amount of days after your ovulation.
12 to 14 days, correct.
So why is autumn longer? Like, in my brain, my logic is saying, shouldn't summer be long and then autumn be the same time every month?
So, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. So think about it as you need to split, say it's a 28-day cycle.
Yeah.
You need to split how do you split four seasons equally, right? When everyone bleeds for different amounts of times and your ovulatory window really is only 4 to 5 days.
Mm.
So it's split between, it's going to really depend on someone's individual cycle and how it's split.
So it's not always like in quarters per se.
No. So we explain it as if it's in, and the graphs will show you, like I've done graphs and it's like quarters.
Yeah.
But that's just helping us to understand the concept.
And it's like in our brain
kind of framework, simplifying.
Yeah.
But in terms of dates, it doesn't quite line up that way because we all bleed for different amounts of time. So depending on how long you bleed for will determine how long your winter is, you know, 3 to 7 days, right? Yeah. However long.
Yeah.
Then your inner spring and your inner summer, they kind of determine, they're fluid.
Yeah.
They're fluid because it depends on, if you're having a super stressful month, then you might find your quote unquote period comes later than what you think because that stress is stopping shifting your hormones so that you don't bleed and release in the same way.
Also when you're sick. Yeah.
Or when you're traveling.
Traveling.
There are lots of different impacts that can affect. Oh, what is it? I don't think like
your body's trying to preserve energy, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So your body's natural function with its hormones will shift and change depending on what your experience is. So that's another thing to kind of note down when you're charting is, what did I experience this month that may have caused, did something happen at work that really put a lot of stress on your shoulders that took your mental space and your brain space to this area where you just could not focus on anything else? How does that affect your period?
Yeah.
Did you then ovulate later and your period come later than what you expected? Probably. You know, or on the opposite of that, are you in a phase of your life where you are working out so much and you're currently like on whatever phase diet is like happening?
Whatever's trending
at the moment, you're putting your body through that space of restricting foods and working out like a crazy person, and your period isn't showing up, right? Because of that stress that you're putting your body under. Mm. There are so many different, for me, it's the opposite of that. It's if I have had a experience that has really stressed me out, it brings my period earlier.
Because that's your body's way of being like, okay, let's release this.
It's my body's way of releasing. And I didn't realize that was a pattern until last year.
Mm.
But even my wedding day, like I was...
Really?
Yeah. I got my period came like a week and a half early.
Really?
On my wedding day, yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, it was a super stressful time for me. So that was a time of, I was like, finally, like, let's get
this
shit done.
You're stepping into a new chapter.
Release.
Yeah.
And... Oh, I'm trying to think like every event we've ever done.
Yeah, I was just about to say
every
that.
Single event we have ever done, I get my period. I'm like, oh, it wasn't even due, but that's my body's way of releasing.
Mm.
So we all have different ways of reacting and responding. It's interesting
Mine generally comes later.
Okay.
If I've had stress or like gone through
whatever,
generally it pushes it back.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So, all right, if we want to use like a time frame, if that's going to help us understand, with your inner autumn, it's roughly, again, like roughly, we're using that rough 28 sort of, I guess. I mean, a little bit longer. Let's give ourselves some leeway. We're looking at roughly day like 19 or 20 until your bleed.
Okay.
But that's going to be varied depending on like how long your cycle is, because again it's like 12 to 14 days after your roughly 12 to 14 days after you ovulate.
Okay, cool,
if that helps with timing.
Cool. Okay, so you were saying that it's autumn is like the longest experience.
It feels like the longest experience for us, and time-wise it tends to be the longest experience. There is so much going on internally during autumn. We have less patience generally than we would have had in our spring and summer.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the pullback. So imagine your inner autumn being the rubber band pulling back, and when you finally bleed, the release of that rubber band, right? So you're starting to be pulled back here. There is more emotions. I don't like saying emotional. I like saying emotion filled.
Yeah.
So you're more emotion filled during this time. So that might look like being a little bit more sensitive, not taking what people say in the light that they're expressing it, you know, looking at things differently, or being a little bit more critical, both of the self and of others, which can lead to you being a little bit more on edge. Mm. So it's also a time where you kind of can't help but say whatever the fuck it is that's sitting on the edge of your tongue. You're a bit more honest, I'm going to call it. This can be beneficial to self or not beneficial to self sometimes, but you're happier to share your truth, no matter how harsh it might come off, during this time. Mm. Because you know what? You can't be fucked wearing the mask or just putting on like that extra kindness in the voice. It's like you've done that. You've used up a lot of your energy. Mm. You're at the tail end of your energy reserves. So yeah, that lower energy level kind of leads you to having the less patience.
So that's definitely a shadow.
Can be, yeah.
Depends how you use it.
It depends how you use it. Mm. It depends how you use it. If you're super aware of that, if you're aware that you tend to react and respond in that way, then it also becomes your responsibility to navigate that differently. Mm. If you're going to be more critical on others, maybe take a step back.
Yeah.
Maybe do things that aren't going to lead you to shouting in someone's face or whatever. Okay, this is another thing. So many people will say that they experience PMS symptoms. Now, PMS is the biggest umbrella. Like, there's like a million fucking things that are thrown under this umbrella. It's a tick box thing that doctors have, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But we all tend to experience at one point or another something that falls under that umbrella of PMS. Now, if you've noticed this pattern of you being super cranky and snappy in your autumn, the week or whatever leading up to your period, then perhaps start to do the things in advance that are going to prepare you for that time. Notice what you're getting shitty and cranky about. Is it because you're looking around the house and everyone's shit is everywhere and you're like, fuck this, I have looked after everyone all month, I have done all the things, I am always on top of it, I need help. Okay, so this is the time for you to start to, especially before you bleed, start to communicate with the household. This is what I need.
Mm.
This is how I can be supported.
And remembering that that's your responsibility, because other people aren't mind readers.
No one's a fucking mind reader here. Like, yeah. I mean, there might be, but you know, like...
the telepathic communicators, we're not talking about you.
Yeah, we're not... Yeah, sit down. If Ness was here,
she'd be like,
well, yeah. So look, the reality is within the household or within whoever, if you're living with someone else, they don't know what the fuck you're thinking.
Yeah.
And we can get frustrated really easy because someone isn't reacting and responding and acting in the way that we expect them to. Mm. But those expectations, that's our
projection.
Projection, exactly.
Yeah.
And how is someone else expected to, A, understand and know what's going on in there, but also then live up to our projections? Like, that's not their responsibility. They're their own journey to fucking go on.
Yeah.
But it's okay for us to ask for support.
Mm.
And like I said in the other episode, most of the time people are happy to support us because we do so much fucking supporting as well.
But also... people, like what you said, people like being helpful.
They do. People love being helpful.
Yeah.
And kids love being helpful. Yeah.
And like as humans, we love community. We love looking after each other. Yeah. It's in our nature.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So you know what? Another thing to really consider during this time is to, you already know what boundaries need to be put in place. this is the time to action those boundaries and to really stand firm in them mm-hmm. as well. So any sort of reevaluation in your day-to-day or your life or your values or how you're showing up for self, that reevaluation, this is the time. What else is good? And also preparing for that downtime. So we mentioned this earlier, you know your bleed is coming. How can you prep yourself so that you can feel most supported when you do start to bleed? Does that look like stocking the fridge so that you don't have to run back and forth to the shops? Does that mean if you're someone who uses menstrual products like pads and tampons, does that look like you stocking your cupboard so you don't have to make those runs again? What does that look like for you? Start to prepare your space. Clean and organize your space. Do your washing and get up to date with all of that shit so you don't have it on your back when you're bleeding.
Do you know what I do during my autumn?
Tell me.
I make sure that I wash my hair as late into my autumn as possible, because during my winter, I'm not washing my fucking hair.
I love that.
Like, I don't, like, it's not even a big deal. I don't know why it is a big deal, because I've
but that's a thing. Like,
yeah, I when I'm in my winter, I don't want to wash my hair.
It's
I
effort. Can't be fucked. Oh my God, what a freaking
it's not even
it.
Just like, the wash, it's like the blow dry you have to do after so it's not all frizzy and all over the place.
Yeah.
No, not happening. So during my like late autumn, I make sure that it, like, I mean, my period can vary, but I make sure on like day 30, day 31, that I've washed my hair so that it'll last me, even though like by day 4 of my period, I look a bit manky. I'm like, whatever. Like,
you're preparing.
Yeah.
You're preparing.
That's my way of preparing.
One of the fun quirks that I love about you is what you do with your nails.
It's so weird.
Can you share?
Yeah. Okay, so generally during the month, like, my nails can grow quite long. My nails and my hair grow so quickly. I don't know what it is, but whatever. I like it. But I'm so fine having long, and when I say long, I mean like over, like just over my fingertip, like my natural nails. I am fine having long nails until it gets to that one day in my autumn where I'm like, if I don't cut my nails short, I'm gonna fucking kill someone. I don't know what it is. It's this. It happened last week when we were at.
Yeah.
I had a few months where my nails were long and it wasn't irritating me. I'm like, oh, maybe I've turned a new page. No, I have not turned a new page. One of my nails like chipped, and then I started like picking at it. I'm like, no. These nails need to come short. So we got home late that night because we were gas bagging.
It was a late night.
I could not go to sleep until my cuticles were cut and manicured perfectly and my nails were cut short.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. But
I love it.
It's one of those things where there's so much urgency behind it. Like, if I don't do it, I just turn into this dragon lady.
You do this every month and it cracks. Well, apart from the you know, those 2 months that you didn't.
Yeah, three months absolute max. It was so weird.
I crack up every time because we'll be having this conversation, you know, What are you doing? I'm cutting my nails short. Oh, she's in her autumn. She's late autumn.
I don't like, I obviously do know what it is. It's like the hormonal stuff and whatever. But I'm trying to shift this narrative, but I really struggle during my autumn. Just because, like, I feel like I turn into this little like pit bull / chihuahua where I just like, I'm just like so angry and like I think my struggle is like being like a very fiery person. I love the action. I love the movement. I love getting shit done, especially like during spring and summer. I'm so happy during that time because it's like, well, firstly my hormones are supporting it, and then I'm getting the energy to do what I want to do. Get done what I want to do. Did that make sense? And then during autumn when I need to pull back, I'm like, for fuck's sake, again.
And that's one of the shadows of autumn is, especially if you're someone who feels like they thrive in summer, that drop can feel really discouraging.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. And so then it's about relearning how you do still have strengths in the slow.
Yeah.
So then it's asking yourself questions of like, what's my comfortability level with taking a step back? What's my comfortability level with really embracing the self-care that I need?
Yeah.
And going down that path of questioning, which can be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well, like being someone who's so comfortable in my masculine.
Yeah.
I can see where that really hasn't served me in the past. So this is something that I'm really trying to shift the narrative, because it's like, I know and I've seen through my lived experience what being too much in my masculine has done to my health and my body.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I need to start getting comfortable with the energy of pulling back and allowing and just being in my feminine for a little bit.
For sure. Yeah.
It's so interesting.
And also thinking about the deep conditioning of the value of being in the masculine.
Mm.
Because, I mean, we are made up of both masculine and feminine. Yeah. Both have their equal strengths within, and they're both necessary to have within. But with the society that we have, there is more fanfare, I guess, and encouragement for the masculine.
Yeah.
Because we do get things like, everything's prioritized of like, how productive are you? How much have you got done? Like, you know, when you have conversation with people and they ask, what have you been up to? Have you been busy? Like, what's the value of busy? Like, why is being busy seen as something that is successful?
Yeah. And when people haven't been busy, there's like the guilt and shame around.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what people tend to struggle with most, especially in the work that I do and listening to the conversations. It's that guilt of taking that step back, of fueling yourself, of putting yourself first, especially when you're someone who might have a family or have people that you're responsible for. There is a higher level of guilt that is there.
It takes more to balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is tricky.
Fucking tricky. And who knows if there are, like, this is why I always say, like, I don't know if there is an actual balance.
Mm.
But it's small decisions and choices that you know are going to serve you.
Mm.
And if you're showing up however you can in the moment, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
We do need to be gentler with self. We need to give ourselves more grace. And you know what? If we have a month where we really fucking pushed it and we know that we didn't show up for self, that's okay too, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just about being curious
and gentle. You know what? The fresh month is a fresh, and when I say month, I'm talking about menstrual month, like post period. It's a new opportunity. Mm. Try again.
Mm.
It's like anything with life.
Yeah. So what can people, what can people do to support themselves during autumn?
So I would suggest saying no to things. If you know that you only have capacity and energy for a certain amount, then saying no and prioritizing that is important because you are at the very ends of your energy reserves. There is only so much that you can do. And if you are saying yes to all of the things still, and then eventually you're finding that that turns into frustration leading to PMS and things like that, that's no one else's responsibility but yourself. And you really have no one else to blame but yourself.
Yep.
Because we can't control much, but we can control some of the choices that we're making, and you can say no.
Yeah.
As uncomfortable as that might be.
Yeah.
So not taking all the things on our plate is something that we can do, which is quite practical. Also creating quiet space for yourself, however that looks. If that might mean making a cacao and spending 5 minutes just chilling, and that's your downtime for the day, that 5 minutes, you can find 5 minutes. If you cannot find 5 minutes in your 24 hours, you need to reshuffle your day. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care how many kids you have. I don't care who lives in your house, how many dogs, cats, fish. Like, I don't care. If you cannot find 5 minutes in your 24 hours, that's on you. Because you can get up earlier. You can create space later on at night when everyone's sleeping. You can leave your job in your lunch break and go outside for 5 minutes and get some sun.
Or even if your boss is a dickhead, go to the bathroom and pretend you're taking a long shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, find a way.
Find a way. Be creative.
Yeah, find a way. Five minutes. Mm-hmm. Find a way. Because you know what? Here's the other thing, and this is the uncomfortable truth. Look on your stats in your phone and see how long you're sitting there scrolling for. If you've been scrolling and you spend, 4 hours of your day, whatever it is, on your phone, what are you actually doing on your phone? Can you find 5 minutes out of that 4 hours that you've just spent, like, on your phone?
Yeah, I would say yes. Yes, you can. Yeah.
Yes, you can.
even while you're like let's say if you're like making a coffee or whatever, and or you're making a tea and you're waiting for the kettle to boil, what are you doing in that time? Get off your phone, take a few I know we were ridiculing this before, but take a few deep breaths, do a body scan. Give yourself 100%. A few minutes to do something.
Oh my gosh, you know what I should link in the, let's add this to the notes, for the show notes. So when did I make this? Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, back in Amity days. So at the very, very beginning of Amity, before I did all the self-care products, I started off with, I designed a whole heap of fine bone china teacups, right? And the whole purpose of me doing that was because they were my way in the days that I was very much in my teaching headspace and I had zero self-care. That was my time, that 5 minutes that I would take to make my tea. Well, 5 minutes to make my tea, 5 minutes to enjoy my tea. That was my downtime. And I wanted to make sure that I was going to ritualize that as much as possible. So I created this video that was showcasing the ritual behind something as simple as making your tea and how you can be mindful in that process of watching as the water changes color, setting your intention, eventually when you go to drink that tea, feeling the heat of the cup underneath your hands,
taking and actually a breath in, savoring it,
savoring the taste, feeling the warmth as it moves down your throat. This brings you into your body. So what might be just a usual thing of you making tea then becomes so much more. It becomes a moment of presence. It becomes a moment of reconnection to the body, to the senses. And you've then just calmed your nervous system down a few notches by doing something that you would have been doing anyway, except this time you're doing it mindfully.
Yeah.
Love so that. Anyway, I've got a video basically like.
I've just added that to the owl.
Yeah.
Show note list cool. to do.
Awesome. So yeah, I don't know how we got there, but that's something that, oh, also if you are someone who tends to feel rage during this time, find a way to express. Now that might mean screaming into a pillow. That might be having the conversations that you've been putting off from having, even though like sometimes that can be counterintuitive because it might be a bit like,
I feel like
you know
internally.
Yeah.
Like I know for myself during my inner autumn, it's not a time for me to speak what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Because it's petty and bitchy.
Okay.
And it's not.
So, okay, this is a good question for you then. So how would you express? You know that you need to let it out somehow. Yeah. What's your healthy way of expressing?
I have conversations with myself.
Beautiful.
So like let's say if I'm in the car on the way home from somewhere or I'm just, I don't know, whatever. I'm driving. I say the things that I want to say. I wanted to say in that moment.
Yeah.
Is it something that I would want another person to hear? Fuck no.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? There's no point me keeping this internally and letting a bubble over where I'm probably going to snap and lose my shit at someone because that's not fair.
Yeah.
So it's my responsibility. So then I'm like, okay, well, how do I feel like giving myself an outlet for this? Generally, it's, having a conversation with like quote unquote the other person, not really, and just expressing or just letting myself have a bit of a tantrum when I'm by myself and being like, fuck this, blah, 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 whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's writing it out, like writing out a letter about all the things I'm pissed off about and burning it.
Yeah, I love
it. It really just depends, but I'm like, okay, well, like what do I need right now in order to like get this off my chest?
To let it out.
To let it out, because there's no point letting things fester. It's not healthy for you.
So true.
And it's okay. So like, true. Even though what you're feeling during this time might not be super like logical and it feels emotionally heightened, it's still valid.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. I'm a crier. So for me, I will cry.
And I do that a lot too.
Say what I need to say. There's probably a lot of swear words thrown in there. There's a lot of crying. And then afterwards, I know I need to be like hugged.
Yeah.
So I will, normally it's Andrew who's having to deal with this shit. So it will be.
Oh, not Andrew for me.
Do you know what he did? Do you know what he did the other day? And I fucking died. It changed my energy so much. I meant to send you guys a photo, but I fucking forgot. It's fantastic. So, oh man, this is where Ness is needed because I don't think you're going to get the reference. Okay. For all the Harry Potter people in the crowd.
I've watched since, actually, when did I start? I watched 2 Harry Potter movies this. No, have I watched?
Did you really?
No, I watched more than that. I don't know why. I don't know what fucking came over me.
That's amazing.
Why did I do that? I can't remember. If I remember, I'll let you know.
Okay,
but
I'm proud of you.
The reference.
Okay, that's really good. So
I didn't love it, but it's okay.
That's fine. That's fine. You tried.
I tried.
So I was having like a bitch and moan about, it was something about cleaning. I'm like, I fucking have to do this all the time. I'm like, if this is going to be my life for the next however long I'm going to live, like, if this is going to be my life for the next X amount of years, like, I'm going to fucking lose it. Da, 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 da. You know, just having like a whinge about nothing. Mind you, like, I live in a unit. There's really not much to clean. It's tiny. And it's just the two of us. So yeah. I was just moving through the fields and that's how I was expressing in the moment.
You were emotionally heightened.
I was emotionally heightened, right? Yeah. And what was the first thing that I was going to grab at? It was like a few things out of place. So that's it. Like, suddenly the world's upside down.
Yeah.
So I was expressing to him and having my cry about the injustice of like the socks on the floor or whatever it was, and he was very patient. He just sat there like listening, not saying anything, just listening and nodding, letting me just have my rant. And when I was done, he looked at me. I was silent, so he knew I was done, and I just see him and he put his hands in his pocket and he pulls out a sock. And he hands it to me and he said, Dobby is free. And I fucking died. I'm like, first of all, where did the sock come from? Like, that's amazing. He had a sock in his pocket and he was just, it just changed my whole energy.
Yeah.
And I cracked up laughing and then he laughed.
Oh, that's
and
so
we
cute.
And he changed my energy and yeah. It was just, that was all that was needed. I just needed an outlet. I needed someone to express to. And then I had a hug and I was fine.
Yeah.
But if I had internalized that, what that would have looked like, because I know me and I know what I'm like, is it would have looked like me creating all of these stories in my head, and I would have seen visuals in my head of me as like a 70-year-old like trotting around trying to clean this house or like whatever. Like I would have created some story and I would have gone
like
down that
path. Lady.
Bitter, and you know what I mean? Those stories, when we play those stories that don't exist in our minds, our nervous system and
doesn't know the difference.
It doesn't know the difference. So it's like angry as fuck because we've made up this story in our minds and internally we believe it's real.
Yeah.
It's just, what's the point of that?
No.
So find a way to express whatever that your way of expressing is, like really prioritize that in your autumn because if you internalize it, you will end up having all of those symptoms that are just not going to serve. And something else that tends to come up a lot, I have to wrap it up soon because we're at the 57-minute mark.
We're all good.
But something else that tends to come up a lot in terms of uncomfortability with people in their late autumn is bloating and things like that.
Yes.
So if you're someone who experiences that, then start to look at the different foods that you're eating and see how you can make shifts and changes in the foods that you're eating that are going to better support you individually during that time.
Mm.
So how your body reacts and responds, it's like you are being given pieces to a puzzle to understand what is going on internally and what you might need to focus on.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what you're noticing and to then taking action on through this work.
Mm. I love that.
I think that pretty much summarizes autumn, I think. Yeah.
I mean, if we think of anything else, we can do another podcast ep. And if anyone has any questions.
Bro, I can talk about this forever.
Yeah, feel free to send them through on the pod page and we'll maybe do like a little Q&A or like a follow-up.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
How fun. This was so fun.
I love it.
Oh, I almost forgot that Ness wasn't here because I was just on my like same. Ranting. my
we still miss you, Ness.
Yeah, we do. We do. Okay, well, let's close up with, I'm going to do like a little plug.
Okay, yes.
So,
yes, absolutely.
Which I don't really even know how to do plugs, so just like
doesn't
flow
matter,
with me.
Whatever.
So, okay, my cycle cards, which I've been working on for a fucking year and a half.
They're beautiful.
Which are really pretty. I finally received the cards and they are exactly what I pictured them to be, but like even more pretty. And yeah, they're just amazing. They're such a great resource to help you understand where you are within your cycle and give you those little reminders about your ebbs and flows, and also to help educate the household on how they might be able to support you. Anyway, keep an eye out on my stories, because in the I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but I feel like by the time this episode comes out, it would be super close to me launching these. So if having these as a resource within your household is something that is calling you, keep your eyes peeled, because they are coming and they are pretty. And if you are looking at exploring your inner seasons in a more detailed way, and if you're wanting to be guided on this journey of reconnection, then my Womb Wisdom container is the bomb. And I will stand by this because I freaking love this flow. We're up to round 5 at the moment. I'm currently week 2 of my 5th round of this flow. And we go deep. We really go deep. It's so much more than just understanding the basics. It is really journeying back to where the shifts and changes happen to get us to this place right now of disconnect, and learning to reconnect to our unique individual cycle. From the beginning to the end of this 8-week flow, you will look at yourself in a different way. And I can stand by that, because I've seen every single soul that has joined this space make these shifts in their self-trust, in their knowing. And it really is quite beautiful to experience. So if that guidance is something that you're looking for or feeling called to, 2023, it's closed, but I will be releasing in the next few months the round dates for 2024, so you'll be able to save your space.
And where can people find details on that?
Just head to my website, which show notes, but basically DanielaElias.com. Otherwise, just follow me over on my personal page, the Daniela Elias. This is literally all I fucking talk about. So you'll like,
we love it.
You can follow along there.
More people need to talk about it.
Yes. So down. Oh, well, thanks for
Yay, allowing I'm so me excited. To like we share my passion.
Yeah,
we've been
me
meaning
too.
To do this for fucking ages. We kept saying, we need to do a cycle episode. We need to do a cycle
I know, but it's happened.
Yeah.
And we've just hit the 101. So I'm going to not do a reflection question because it doesn't feel like Daniela.
Hold on. I think I have something on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, I'll put the music
below. Wait, can you give me 2 seconds?
Yeah, do you want me to start the music?
Yeah, okay, I'm ready. So the reflection question for today's episode is, what is one simple change you can make in your day-to-day routines to start to honor your inner seasons?
Oh, fucking good one.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ha 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 ha!